أعوذ بالله من الشيطان بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بسنته يوم الدين. أما بعد، last Thursday we stopped in Surah Yusuf, in the story of Yusuf عليه السلام, at the place where the brothers of Yusuf عليه السلام come to their father with the shirt and the qamis which has false blood on it, and we just stopped over there. We need to just finish furthermore. The false blood that they had on the qamis was the blood of a, as some of the riwayat say, blood of a goat or any other animal that was over there. And when they killed the animal, the blood that came from the animal, they just took shirt off of Yusuf Islam and rubbed it with the blood of the animal to make it real and bring it to the father Yaqub al Islam. And that is where we stopped last time, when the father said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse 18, وَجَاءُوا عَلَى قَمِيسِهِ بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ, and they came on his shirt with the false blood. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. Yaqub al Islam, the father, he did not buy the excuse, he did not buy the argument. He said, this is false, this is not correct. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانَ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. Meaning, one of the riwayats say that Rasulullah said that Yaqub alayhi salam said, مَا أَحْمَلُ هَذِ الذِّئْبِ, because they said that the wolf ate. The excuse they came up with was that the wolf ate our brother and your son. So Yaqub alayhi salam, being the father, and look at his smartness, he's saying, what a peaceful kind of wolf it is that he ate my son, but the shirt is not torn. Because if a wolf comes and eats you, the shirt will be ripped apart, torn, mumazzaq. يعني ما أحلم هذا ذئب يأكل ابني ولم يمزق قميصه. This is one of the things where we forgot to mention last Thursday, that he did not buy the argument, because anyone can tell that this is. I remember we said that last Thursday, that the brothers said to their father that you will not believe us even if we were truthful. Why? Because the father is seeing, what kind of wolf is this? Is it a very polite wolf? He just wants to eat the human being, but doesn't want to touch the shirt. So he said, I'm not going to buy this argument. That's what he's saying. قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ. No, but you have masterminded. You have done something to get rid of your brother and my son Yusuf. I will not accept this. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. Rather, Yaqub al-Islam said to his sons, the 11, I don't accept your argument, and I will rather have patience. What kind of patience? Jameel, extensive patience. Rasulullah said in a hadith that when my brother, and Yaqub al-Islam being a prophet, he said, when my brother said, sabrun jameel, this is the kind of sabr, la shikwa lahu. There is no shakawa, there is no complaint in this sabr. What kind of sabr is Rasulullah meaning? He's meaning such a kind of patience where you don't say oof. Because it's okay to say, oh Allah, I'm very patient. Oh Allah, look, I, in this difficulty, I'm very patient. But then sometimes you have taraddud. You know taraddud meaning second thoughts. Like, how second thoughts? You're sitting in the bathroom in the toilet seat and you're thinking, I'm in this difficulty, what's going on? This whispers that come, taraddud. Sabrun jameel bima'na, meaning you have so tranquility, peace. You have not even a single thought. This is sabrun, because there's what Rasulullah was saying, that Allah is distinguishing this, the elite kind of sabr. Sabr of Anbiya. Ma'asharatul Anbiya. Because the from amongst the humanity, Bani Adam, Anbiya are the ones who are time tested, who are under extreme stress. No human being can claim that they went through the stress in their life as any prophet of Allah. Even if it's a prophet like Yusuf, Islam was at a young age. So that's what Rasulullah explaining this ayah, he said that this sabr jameel, what is this sabr jameel? It is that kind of sabr which is not difficult to attain. All you have to do is no shikwa, no shakawa. You just have patience. Any kind of difficulty there is, you don't, in fact, one of the riwayat, it says that you don't say any low. You know, when tragedy happens, trauma happens, difficulty happens, you say, oh, if I did this way, this would have happened. If I was good to my boss, he wouldn't have fired me. So he's saying that is not sabr. You lose your job or you get whatever happens, but you say, oh, I'm patient, look, I lost my job. But inside you feel like, if I didn't do this, I wouldn't have lost my job. This feeling is only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You won't say it maybe to your wife or your husband or your other human beings, but you only feel this feeling inside. This is not Sabr Jameel. Sabr Jameel is feeling tranquility, peace, not even having any taraddud. Wallahu musta'an ala ma tasifun. And Yaqub al-Islam says to his son, and Allah is my witness and Allah is my protector. Hasbi Allah wa ni'm al-wakeel. Just like Ibrahim al-Islam said, the grandfather of Yaqub al-Islam. What did Ibrahim al-Islam say? He said, Allah is sufficient as a protector, savior from me. If I have Allah on my side, what trouble I have? What concern I have? But just to say from the lip service, oh, Allah is on my side, is not enough. You have to prove it. But you can't prove that Allah is on your side by physical action, right? You have to prove it through mental strength, through heart strength, qalb. You have such extreme conviction. Yes, Allah is on my side. We will go through this. Why I'm explaining this? Because the next section today that we're going to cover is extremely related to these words. Sabrun Jameel and Allah Musta'an Alamat Tasifun. What he's saying, Alamat Tasifun. Whatever you, my sons, 11, are doing to me, Allah is my protector and savior, meaning he's going to save me from your tricks and treachery and your betrayal. This is very extremely to understand, very extreme, especially given the circumstances that we Muslims are going through now since 9/11. And how it's also very relevant to the next world. Because now what's going to happen to Yusuf al-Islam, you will see in the character of Yusuf al-Islam, you will see in his personality, you will see in his rapport, you will see in his interaction, you will see in his response to every event, how he truly fitted the phrase that he's a son of a prophet. Here, Rasulullah said a hadith that my brother Yusuf, he is Al-Kareem, Ibn Al-Kareem, Ibn Al-Kareem, Ibn Al-Kareem. Four generations. What did he mean? He said, Yusuf Al-Kareem, Yusuf the respected, honorable and generous, Ibn Al-Kareem, he is the son of Al-Kareem. Son of who? Yaqub al-Islam. Generous and also not only young, meaning very peaceful and very, very honorable. And then son of Ibn Al-Kareem. Who's Yaqub, son of Ishaq al-Islam. Also. And then he said the fourth generation, Ibn al-Kareem, Ibrahim al-Islam. So what he was saying, he is showing the lineage of Yusuf al-Islam. He's saying, how dare we ever have shukuk or not learn from this prophet, Yusuf al-Islam, who has four generations of karama, four generations. The honorable, son of the honorable, son of the honorable, son of the honorable. Ibrahim al-Islam, Ishaq al-Islam, Yaqub al-Islam, Yusuf al-Islam. And Allah truly tested. That's why in just this one surah, you have the whole story of Yusuf al-Islam. Some places in detail, some places not. Now we move on to our today's section of the verse. And we see how the story moves forward of Yusuf al-Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, of course we said this last time, that they dropped him in the well and then they went back home with this shirt. And I told you to keep this shirt in mind, because the shirt is very pivotal, crucial throughout the whole story. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the issue. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions about the issue of what happens in the well. Some of the riwayat say from Rasulullah that he stayed in the well down there, deep in darkness. There's no light in well, right? We'll agree that. For 3 days. And while others refute that, but there is that he stayed some days. It's not that they dropped him today and tomorrow he was saved. In fact, Rasulullah, while he explained it, he said these were the darkest moments of Yusuf al-Islam's life. And some of the Mufassirin have written that Yusuf al-Islam was between the ages of 30 and 17 around this time when he was in the well. Can you imagine a teenager? Recall when you were a teenager. And if you have teenager sons and daughters, imagine how they would feel if they are in the darkest side of the well and nobody there for them. They are shouting, screaming, nobody there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over here is informing us that this is the, you know, in every graph you have a crest and a trough. The curve has to, if the curve goes up, it has to come down. If it goes down, it has to come up. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He does not let any curve go down. So right now, if you really want to make a graph of Yusuf al-Islam's life, when he's in the well, he's on the bottom of the pit. This is the crest. This is the trough. As we see in moving forward in this story, that from where how he lifted him up from the lowest of the low of the curve in the well to the highest level of being on the throne of the Aziz of Misr. And the reason we chose, like I said many times, this surah was the story of Yusuf Islam reflects many of our stories today. Our lives, since the day we were born to our parents, till the day that we become parents, till the day we become grandparents, till the day we die. Our life is just like a bell curve. Sometimes we have crests, sometimes we have troughs. What the whole summary of story of Yusuf a.s. is teaching us, that look, Muslims, when you grow through the tests and trials and tribulations of life, just like my Prophet Yusuf a.s. went, always remember how he acted and reacted, responded. And if you try to mimic him and copy him, then you will be in safe hands. Now here is Yusuf a.s. for 3 days, as some riwayat say, let's say. Imagine 3 days and three nights. Imagine night time. I mean, as one of the Mufassirin say, just close your eyes for a second and imagine how would you feel as a teenager, between 30 and 17, you are in the bottom of a well, there is no life, there is no urban or rural life around you, near you, you're just a well. Did you ever think of the scorpion, the lizards, the spookiness, things like that? Some of the riwayat say that one of his brother, Yauz or Raul, I would forget the name, used to come and give him food at night. At least, like, remember we said that some of his brothers had some rahmah, mercy, a soft corner. We already explained this, how Islam perceives that even those who are criminals, even those who are evil, they're not evil at heart. There is some good left in them. Yes, they are criminal and evil because of what they're doing, but there is some good in them which we need to tap. So here is one of the riwayats where for the 3 nights and days that he was there in the well, one of his brother would come and just give food. They don't want to rescue him, but say, hey, don't starve to death. Keep some food. Then Allah moves on forward. وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ فَأَدْلَى دَلْوَ قَالَ يَا بُشْرَى هَذَا غُلَامٌ وَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعَةً وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ وَشَرَاهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دِرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ These two verses depict the true test of a mu'min. These two verses show how Yusuf al-Islam successfully mastered his test, patience, so that Allah rewarded him tremendously. Because this is where we either break or we compose ourselves. When you are in the shadeed compression stress. Just like anything, if you compress anything, a spring or something, when you reach to the maximum point, that is where the personality of an insan, human being, male or female, they feel like, this is it, I can't bear it anymore. I'm about to burst open. Either they'll burst open in tears, or they'll have a nervous breakdown, or a heart attack, cardiac arrest, or brain hemorrhage, or a stroke. Things happen. You always hear in our lives that someone had stroke, someone had brain hemorrhage, someone had cardiac arrest, someone had extreme high blood pressure. Why? Maybe, and then you say, oh, but they were not sick. What happened suddenly? Maybe they were under extreme duress and stress. How you behave under extreme compression when the conditions of life and the turmoils and tribulations of life, how it compresses you and how you behave at that time determines how you will come out through. And what can be your tool and arsenal to fight this compression? There's only one thing. Iman, Iman, Iman. Tawakkul on Allah. Reliance, ultimate true reliance on Allah. If anyone who is on the bottom of the lowest of their life, when they feel like, this is where people suicide, right? In this country and also in many Muslim countries now, suicide is going higher. Why do you think somebody commits suicide? They just can't take it anymore. And they say, look, the easy way out, let me just kill myself. So then I don't have to worry about this, I don't have to worry about this, I don't have to worry about all these problems of my life. And usually they write a note. I couldn't take no more pressure. I couldn't cheat no more. I couldn't deceive no more. I couldn't steal from the company coffers anymore. Hang themselves. So what good was that stealing when you're going to end your life suicide? But look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a message, a medicine, a formula. Instead of thinking and contemplating of suicide, use your Iman strength at this time. Instead of giving up on life, think there is more to life. Because ask yourself, a 17, 13 year old on the bottom of the well, what is he going to think? Am I going to live longer? Maybe I'll just die out of hunger or out of thirst. Because remember, if he's on the bottom of the well, that means there's no water. Otherwise, if there was water, he would have drowned. So there is no water in the well. It's a dry well.
He's just down there. He has no food, no water. And even if, we say that in the nighttime one of his brother drops some food or something, but he's thinking at this moment, what is this life? Kind of like what we say today, if we are under extreme pressure, if we suppose we are laid off, suppose we lose the house, suppose we do, I mean, just consider any kind of extreme circumstance today living in America. Just put that in your mind and think, how would you react? Suddenly you hear just bad news after bad news. Or they say, there's a saying in Urdu, parshanya jab aati re, ikhatte aati. Ek akele nahi aati. Ki akloti hoti nahi, unke bhai bhai bade hoti. Sab ikhatte chale aati. I mean, what I was saying in Urdu is that when trouble comes, it doesn't come alone. It comes with the whole package deal. Because they got a lot of brothers and sisters. They don't want to go alone. And that's kind of true. When you see, look at him. He has parishan. He has problems one after another. First, the brothers plotted. Second, brothers grabbed him, took him out. Third, brothers dropped him down. So basically, if you look at the whole turn of events, one after another, it's the same thing, the same feeling that we say in Urdu. Parishan ekhar dar. But is he committing suicide? Is he breaking apart? Is he tearing apart? No! He's composing himself. Because he's a son of a prophet, grandson of a prophet, great-grandson of the father of prophets, Ibrahim alayhi. Why would he break up? Why would he look at this moment in life and say, I might as well just kill myself. This is the end of life. I'm already in the bottom of the well. The reason I'm going through in detail at this junction, brothers and sisters, because we all face this today in 2006. And before you, and we, not only that we face this, but we have friends and relatives who face this. And sometimes, I'm shocked, sometimes when people come up to me and say, you know brother, I'm contemplating on suicide. Can you imagine a Muslim even think like that? Sometimes youngsters, they say, brother, I'm reflecting, I might as well just end my life. I'm sick and tired of living in America. If a Muslim teenager says that, I tell them only one thing, go read Surah Yusuf. If a Muslim adult says that, whoever comes to you and says, I want to think of suicide, tell them only one thing, Surah Yusuf, verses 19 and 20. It is the best medicine against anyone who is thinking, contemplating of suicide. Because look, he is bad darpe parshan. One after another, step after step, he's going through everything. But look at his composure, look at his resolve, look at his commitment in Allah. And we already said last Thursday, Allah said in the previous ayah that وَأَلْهَمَهُمْ وَأُوحِيَ. I mean, Allah gave him ilham, Allah gave him a revelation. Look, stand tight, hold on fast, don't break up, I'm with you. So, you might want to say, well, Allah doesn't talk to us today. No, He does. You know when Allah talks to you? Apart from that, not necessarily, salah. Why did Rasulullah at the time of his death, when his ruh is being taken up, the last breaths of Rasulullah, he's saying, As-salah, as-salah, as-salah. Did you ever think? When people are dying, what do they remember on their mind? Their money, wealth, their children, their relatives, their belongings. You know, when the moment the person is dying, he says, oh, take care of my son. Oh, make sure you marry my daughter off. Oh, remember there's some money over there in that bank account. Oh, make sure you give that card to my cousin. You know, people are dying, they're just leaving, they know they're leaving this life. On their tongue is only one thing, whatever the thing, in the dunya. But look at Rasulullah, he's not saying about his daughter, Fatima, he's not thinking about his grandson, Hassan Hussein. He's not even thinking about his cousin, Ali. He's not even thinking about anything except as-salah, as-salah. Because he knows, salah is the key in the time of duress. Salah is the key in the time of success. Salah is what separates you between kufr and iman. Salah is what differentiates you between insan and hayawan. Salah is the only thing where Allah strengthens your heart. And that is why you see, 9 out of 10 times, people pray more regularly when they have lost a job. People pray more regularly when they are in extreme shit, their problem. People pray more regularly when they have a tragedy. And once the life begins to come to normal, job comes back, the person who died, you know, it has been enough time, 6 months, they've lost the, you know, trauma, they stop praying again. That's what exactly Allah says in the Quran. He says, when they are extreme difficulty, they remember us. And when we change their ahwal, when they bring them prosperity, فَإِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. Not that they're starting worshipping an idol. No, he's saying يُشْرِكُونَ, they stop praying. And then again when they have a problem, again they start praying. So why play games with Allah? Rather, the person who is a regular in Salah, no matter how difficult time comes, they will be steadfast in it. And that is what we mean, that is what Allah is saying. That look, ilham can still come to you. Yes, wahi nobody can receive, nobody can become a prophet now after Rasulullah. But ilham is inspiration, recognition. Not that Allah speaks to your mind, you can't just wake up one day, oh, you know, last night Allah spoke to me. He said, don't worry, you're going to get a job soon. People are going to say, well, are you crazy? They'll probably send you to mental hospital. This guy's gone berserk. He's claiming he's a prophet. Allah talked to him. I remember one of my cousins, he did that back in Pakistan. My daddy, she just grabs it, "Isko power khane le jo." The guy is crazy. No, that does not happen. But what Allah does is inspire you, either through a dream, either through in your heart. That's where Rasulullah said in the hadith, "Istafti qalba." Ask. You want fatwa? You want a real fatwa and a real verdict, feeling? What is it? He said, ask your heart. Istafti qalba. Meaning, if you're perturbed, if you're swaying, should I do this or not? Ask your heart. Meaning, dil ko tatol ke puchha really, kis taraf aapne jana? Is taraf, kis taraf? Why did he say that? He said, because if you are a musalli, if you pray regularly, you have iman, your iman in the heart will guide you in the time of stress, in the time of difficulty, in the time of problem. But if you don't pray, you ask your heart is going to say, yeah, come, let's do fitna. Because it has no iman. That's why salah is so important. And subhanAllah, I was just talking this morning after Fajr to one of the imam in Tina. And we're just discussing about things like salah. And you know, we're saying how very few people come to masjid. You pick up any masjid in America, how few people come? But does that mean only the people who come to masjid, that's the only population of Muslims in America? No. So the imam was saying, we are blessed here in America, we Muslims who pray in masjid, we are blessed here in America more by the people who don't pray. At first I didn't get his point. What is he trying to say? Is it better not to pray? No. He's saying, look, because of the Muslim population and because of the quantity, growth, and the community, we have halal meat stores, we have other shops, we have Asian stores, we have our own, like you have a whole main street in Patterson, makes you feel like you're back in Arab country. You have a whole street like Oak Tree Road in Edison, it makes you feel like you're back in the homeland, South Asia. So he was saying, why are these things happening? It's not because of just us, Muslim, because we are very few in quantity. From business point of view, if you have a small quantity, there is no growth. There's not enough customer, clientele. So the businessman will not start their business. Because you're small in number, the government, the Congress, Senate will not listen to your things. They won't give you enough rights. So he was basically implying that those who don't pray and don't come to masjid, just because they're living in America, we, those who do pray, are benefiting from the other luxuries that are there. Because had it been only for us, then maybe these stores wouldn't last. Because they won't have enough turnover. But again, he's not saying that it's okay not to pray. Don't go around saying, okay, tomorrow I don't need to pray. But rather, what he's saying is that we should recognize this fact and call those people to the masjid. Because there's a positive thought in this. When you go to a person who never prays in the masjid, you tell him, you know, because of you, Allah is blessing the Muslim Ummah in America. At first thing, he's going to think or she's going to think, wow, really? How? Tell me. You know, this is what we call enticing the people. Marketing. Strategic marketing way. The look, market Salah in such a luring way that they'll feel good. What we used to have the immigrant mentality from back home is people used to have a badnam, marnay. I mean, people used to always have a negative attitude. Oh, you don't pray, you're such a badbakh, you're such a bad person. With negative attitude, you don't get people to Salah. With positive attitude, yes. If you tell the person, because of you, I'm being blessed and you're not praying, why don't you thank Allah for what He's blessing? That person who already has a negative attitude about those who pray in the masjid, says, oh, he's going to come and taunt me, tease me, he's going to be sarcastic to me. They already have a negative expectation from you who does pray in the masjid. But when you come out with this positive attitude by praising him and blessing him, he's going to say, wait a second. Maybe after all, Islam is not what I thought in back in my country, in the Arab land or the South Asian land, that people always just show a condescending negative way. So salah is the thing that brings us in communication with Allah. So in time of stress and in times of goodness, Allah will always inspire us to take the right decisions at the right time and not regret it. Just like He inspired all His prophets, and especially here we've seen the story of Yusuf himself. So what happens? Look how Allah, I mean these two verses, it might take long, but I really want to show you how Allah changes people's lives.
And this, when I explain to you these two verses, you will agree with me that you can relate to the experiences of Yusuf al-Islam. Because every one of us has gone through some bad times sometime in life. If you're not going through right now, that's good, alhamdulillah, if you're in good times. But if you're in good times right now, remember the last time when you were in a bad mode, in a negative mode. Remember how Allah brought you out of it. And you will relate to how Allah brought Yusuf al-Islam out of it. First and foremost, Allah says, وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ. Sayyara is the plural jama of musafirin, musafir. So it's like a caravan, literally meaning it's a caravan. They should travel in groups, not just one person. وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ. First thing Allah mentions, there's a caravan traveling. While Yusuf al-Islam, his prophet, and Bani Adam, or one of the son of Adam, al-Islam, is down there in the lowest of the well, in the darkest hour of his life, not knowing what's going to happen the next moment, will I live, will I die? Here Allah brings a caravan. Now if we just stop here, brothers and sisters, what is Allah telling me and you as Muslims who read this ayah till the day of judgment? وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ. You have any idea? What is Allah implying to us? A caravan came. Where did it come from? Just out of nowhere? Did the caravan have any intuition? Yusuf al-Islam is in the well. Did the caravan know anything? Was there a big sound? Hey, Yusuf al-Islam is here. What is Allah implying to me and you who are going through stressful time in our lives?
Help is on the way.
Hmm?
Help is on the way.
Yes, but who is the helper?
Allah.
How does he help?
Through his means.
Hmm? Through his means. How does he make the means?
Put in their minds, maybe. No, I mean,
means is the word. Allah is the creator of means. We have a phrase in Arabic language, one of the attributes, sifat of Allah is Musabbibul Asbab. Asbab means, like the brother said, when Allah wants to help someone, He sends the means. But where does the mean come from? He is the creator, Khaliq, Musabbib. He creates the means. You see what I'm trying to say? And this is what the Mufassirin said. That look, Yusuf al-Islam in his wildest dream did not know that he's going to be saved by a caravan. Meaning Allah, if He wanted, He could have just sent Jibreel. Jibreel, go there, prick him up in his wing. And that's it. But is that a big deal? No. Because everybody will say, oh, that's no big deal. Allah sent His angel. But Allah did not save Yusuf al-Islam through extra means. I mean, through unusual means, through miracle means. No. Allah saved Yusuf al-Islam through worldly means. Why? To write in the books of humanity till their judgment in sand. If you trust on Allah, Allah will send means your way. Right? That's why we say, anytime you go to a fundraising dinner, every imam, every khatib say in front of dinner, brothers and sisters, please donate generous, please give, open your heart. Because remember, if you give, He will create the means from behind you so that the river keeps flowing. But if you stop and become like a dam, stop the water, meaning the money that Allah has given you, why won't He send the means for you? And 99.99% of the time that I've talked to someone who donated anything to Allah, whether a dollar or $1 million, 99.9% of the time the people came back to me saying, brother, you are so right. We have one person sitting right here in this jama'ah. And they say, brother, you are so right. When I took the challenge with Allah, I just gave it in. Out of nowhere, never in my wildest thought, something came from behind. Allah gave me a bonus. Allah gave me some barakah. Meaning Allah has His ways. Don't think that Allah will just give you a check. Okay, you gave to that masjid $1,000, here's $10,000. No. It will not be in a check that comes in a mail like they show Santa Claus, Christmas time, check is coming from Santa Claus. No. Allah creates means. Musabbibul Asbab. He creates means for you that you are just, you know, insan ka jo rehen hai, dam rahega. Dil phat ke, matlab kehte na, dil phat ke muh mein aaya. At that time, you're just in awe and fear. Insan usko sirf khushu aur khudur hai ki ya Allah, maine ye kya kiya? Main itne din se ghafil tha, ghafil thi. Main itne din se is cheez se bezaar tha. Kabhi socha? Meaning the person's heart splits apart, comes in the mouth because of what? Awe and fear and humility, thinking, oh Allah, how naive I was that I never gave in Your path, and now that I gave, suddenly You sent me so much barakat. So the person feels ashamed. Why did it take me so long to give You in Your way, Ya Allah? Why didn't I do this before? And then the person becomes habitual. Once they see with their own eyes, they start giving now more. On a regular basis. And that's what Rasulullah said,
The أحب الأعمال إلى الله, the best of the deeds to Allah سبحانه وتعالى is that أدومها, the more continuous ways. وإن قل, إن قل يعني إن قليل. The best of the deeds that Allah loves from you, Bani Adam, is something that you do أدومها, continuously, all the time. Even if it's a little, meaning Allah loves you giving $1 a day, $1 a week, $1 a month, than giving just $10 one time in a year, or $100 one time in a year. Continuous way, and same thing with salah, same thing with siyam, same thing with the nawafil. Whatever you do it on a regular basis, that is أحب الأعمال إلى الله. Who is saying this? Rasulullah صلى. So what these two words are telling us, مؤمنين, متوكلين, those who rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember always, in your darkest hour, remember who to call on and what dua to say. This is a dua we should make always when we are in extreme parishan, extreme tension. Ya musabbib al-asbab. This is the way you should start off. And if you don't know to say it more, you can then just by this phrase, and then you can say in Urdu, English, whatever language you have. But start off with this. Ya musabbib al-asbab. Meri parishani dur kar de. Or Ya musabbib al-asbab. Relieve me from this stress. Ya musabbib al-asbab. Save me from this predicament. Whatever you want to say. But always start, because when you address Allah with His sifat, it's not that Allah will not listen to you if you didn't. But He loves you more. Wow, my slave, he or she knows my sifat. مُصَبِّبُ الْأَسْبَابِ Creator of the means. Very easy word. I mean, but asani siyada. Ya مُصَبِّبُ الْأَسْبَابِ Ya مُصَبِّبُ الْأَسْبَابِ Those of us who know Urdu, it's easy to memorize even. مُصَبِّب is an Urdu word and أَسْبَابِ is Urdu word. Ya مُصَبِّبُ الْأَسْبَابِ What does it mean? It means, oh you, Allah, the Creator, مُصَبِّب, Creator of all means. Meaning from غَيْب. If you want, Allah can send a raid from raid to your door. Somebody knocks on your door and there is something over there that would help you at that time of the hour. You know how many times we were in the middle of a problem and we didn't share with someone, and at 12 in the night, some Muslim brother and sister in your neighborhood just came and said, you know, I just had a feeling you were going through something wrong. Can I come help you? And at that moment you were thinking, wow, my door was just answered. Right now I said, oh Allah, help me. And at 12 in the night, someone knocks my door and says, I have a feeling. Where did they get the feeling? Allah. Allah inspires His slaves. He gives direction to other people. That go to this slave of mine at their house at the middle of this hour in the night, because they are in trouble. I have one true story right here in New Brunswick. A brother, he was blessed with a child, but the child had Down syndrome. They were under a lot of stress. When the child was born, the doctor said Down syndrome. You can imagine how the mother and father feel when they are getting a small baby and they have Down syndrome. If you don't know what Down syndrome is, it's a kind of abnormality with the son. They came home that night, 11, 12, and they were just so stressed out. Of course, the wife was crying, husband trying to calm her. And at 1 in the morning, just somebody knocks. They got scared first, maybe some thief burglar was going. And they see it's one of their neighbors, Muslim neighbor. And they ask, why you need some, they thought they need some help. That's why they come in the window and say, no, I was sleeping. In my sleep, I just was so disturbed that I could not rest. And something was telling me in my sleep, in my dream, that you are in problem. I have to go at this hour to help you. And then they sat down, had tea. They stayed till Fajr just to calm them down. Because they didn't tell anyone in the neighborhood that we got a child with a Down syndrome, because the child was born today. Before they could even tell anybody, we are blessed with a child, they are so much shocked. 1 in the morning, the neighbor comes. From where? مُصَبِّبُ الْأَسْبَابِ. So brothers and sisters, remember these words. يَا مُصَبِّبُ الْأَسْبَابِ سَحِلْ لَنَا مَصَائِبَنَا مَشَاكِلَنَا or anything in that thing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, look, Yusuf al-Islam is the darkest of the well. He doesn't know from anywhere, from where, what's going to happen. But we don't save Yusuf al-Islam from unusual means, but rather from usual means. And it is usual for a caravan to travel in the desert, right? It is usual for a caravan to get thirsty, they need water, right? It is usual for a caravan to come to a well to fetch water. See how the turn of events happening? Allah just created an asbab. One asbab, caravan. Second asbab, thirsty, need water. Third asbab, look for a well. And there could be a lot of wells out there. But look how Allah brought them to the well where His Prophet Yusuf al-Islam was there. This is what Allah is showing. I am مُصَبِّبُ الْأَسْبَابِ. I will make sure that the means come at your doorstep with the footsteps. Because that caravan could have easily gone somewhere else. And poor Yusuf al-Islam would have been stuck, continued. But no, look, Allah says, وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ وَارِد is the person who is like the leader of the caravan, who's responsible to make sure that the water is enough. And you know, they used to carry bottle of waters. They didn't have rest areas like we have nowadays. And of course, we don't have wells nowadays like that. So they used to carry bottles of water in the caravan, and whenever it will go low or something, they would stop and tell the leader or the chief of the caravan, which here Allah says, Arsalu, meaning they said, Oh leader, we are run out of water, go fetch us water. You know, or maybe the, and look at the options over here. What, a lot of things could have happened. He could have said, no, let's continue a few more miles, we go and stop at the next area and try to fetch water. No. The moment he heard, he said, okay, you guys want water, you want me to go, so I will go. So the waridahum fa adla dalwa. Dalwa is like a small bucket. Adla meaning putting it down. So this guy came, who's responsible for the caravan, along, as some rivayat say, just him and another person, meaning not a whole bunch of people came from caravan to get water, just the person who's responsible and a helper, assistant. They come there, they put their bucket down to fetch water. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us his miracles in the asbab. They put, what are the chances that the bucket comes down and Yusuf al-Islam will get in? Maybe he could have been sleeping at that time, right? Maybe he could have fainted, bucket came and went. You know, a lot of options can happen, right? But look, Allah is teaching us a lesson. That when you say, Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel, Allah is sufficient for me and He's my protector, Allah is showing you in front of your own eyes in the story, Yusuf al-Islam, that if you say these words, that, and if you mean it from your heart and your tongue, that Allah is on your side, Allah is definitely on your side. Because everything comes into place. Like the pieces of puzzle, they come and say, wow, now I get the whole picture. This is exactly what's happening. Because a lot of other options could have happened, but Allah is showing us in every word choice that He put in this surah, in this ayah, that look, when Allah is on your side, no matter if the whole world is against you, nothing can happen. Isn't that our aqeedah? One of the fundamental cornerstone of our aqeedah is, if Allah is on my side, and I see a million people in front of me with sword and dagger and whatnot and all the ammunition, if Allah doesn't want me to be hurt, what are they going to do? Let them fire what they want to fire. So this word or this phrase truly comes to light in times of stress. What word or phrase? Allah is on my side. But all we have to do is keep praying, keep making salah. Then, because if you really want Allah to be on your side, you have to keep praying. And you have to keep praying to thank Him, that thank you Allah for being on my side. Because if we don't thank Him, Allah is going to say, what unthankful slave. I am on His side, her side, and I'm protecting him or her, and they don't thank me. That is why Allah is saying, فَأَدَّى دَلْوَا قَالَ يَا بِكْشَ هَذَا هُدَانَ. He got ecstatic. Can you imagine someone getting ecstatic when they find a slave? They're looking for water, for God's sake. They want water. What do you want, a young boy? So why did Allah put this word? To show that look, even the person who found the water, he's happy. Who gave the means for him to be happy? Allah. Meaning, who changes people's emotions? Who changes people's heart? Allah. Because if he, suppose, look at the negative of this. Suppose he got the thing, what? A boy? I'm looking for water. Drop him down. Could have done that, right? He could have had a negative attitude. I'm looking for water. People in the car want water. I'm getting a boy out of here. Forget it. Let him go down. He doesn't even know who this is. No. But Allah uses the word in the Quran. That is why this is the ijaz of Quran. This is the miracle of Quran. That every word that Allah uses has profound meanings, long-lasting wisdom from it. Why Allah used the word that they said, قَالَ يَا بُشْرَى. Oh, good news, good news. Bushra, glad tidings. He's getting happy, ecstatic, delighted. I found a boy, I found a boy. How many of you, when you're thirsty through your throat, your throat is like a rock, dry as a rock. At that moment, how many of you will be happy to see a ghulam? Only one at that time is nice, pouring spring, cool water, chilling. Huh? But Allah is teaching us a lesson. That when Allah is on your side, He will change the people's mind even. Yes, they came there thirsty. Yes, they were looking for water. Yes, they could have been disappointed in not finding water. But no! They're not disappointed. rather more happy state. قَالَ يَا بُشْرَ هَذَا غُلَامٌ. Oh, good news! Look, it's as if like he's saying, good news, I found both! Treasure! Comes! It was. Because every word in this ayah is meaningful. Look at the next thing. وَأَسَرُّوهُ. Aha! You find a small boy, are you going to hide him? Are you going to hide a small boy if you found when you're thirsty? No. أَسَرُّوهُ يَنِي secret. Hide him. Let's hide him. There's no gold on this boy. There's no silver on this boy. There's not a lot of cash on this boy. Why are you hiding him? وَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعَةٍ. Why? وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. They hide the boy secretively. Why? To sell him. The intention was, wow, we found a boy, let's sell him. Now I ask you this, brothers and sisters. Who gave that person in their mind the thinking, I can sell him, make money? Who gave him this thought? Allah. Allah! Subhanallah, yes! Now let me ask you this. The concept of being captured and being sold as a slave, is that something positive or negative? You be the judge. Is that positive? If somebody kidnaps somebody today for money, you think it's going to be a positive thing? Do you look at that as something good? No. 99% of people say, this is bad. Kidnapping, capturing, then saying, bad. But this is the reality of Musabbib al-Asbab, Al-Razzaq, Zul-Quwwat al-Mateen, Al-Rahman, Al-Rahim, Al-Kareem. In other words, Allah is teaching me and you a lesson. Sometimes to get to success, sometimes to get to prosperity, sometimes to get to freedom, sometimes to get to the good of your life, to get to the crest, you have to go through something that is bad. Being captured and being a slave? Bad. But does Yusuf al-Islam know that he is going to be freed soon? No. Does he even exist? He can't do anything. Meaning Allah, when he creates means, he covers it up with all of things. Because if it's not covered up, apparent, what's going to happen? People are going to get jealous, envy from you. And then people are going to conspire. Because if they knew that he was a prophet, or he's going to soon to be a governor of Misr and he's going to be a lot of rich, they'll kill him right there. But no, Allah is showing me and you a lesson that in your life issues, your life affairs that you go through every day, if you get something that is negative, don't shun it. What if you say to him, no, I don't want to be captured, I don't want to be slave, leave me alone. Or what if he just jumped himself in the way? I'd rather just go down back there than to be captured by you. No. What did he show? He showed patience. Why? Because he's the son of Yaqub al-Islam. Remember now why I started today by the issue of patience? Sabrun Jameel. Because even in bad times, you have to have sabr. Yusuf al-Islam showed sabr, utmost sabr. Why? Because he knows in his mind, whatever Allah is doing, he will never want bad for me, right? Then why would Allah want bad for me and you as Muslims? This is what I'm trying to give the message from this story of Yusuf al-Islam. That remember, brothers and sisters, always one thing. As long as you are a Muslim, as long as you are praying and keeping your chores and fulfilling Allah's requirement, remember, Allah will never waste you. Allah will never harm you. Allah will never afflict you with something like that. Yes, the negative might be there apparently, but in that negative, there's a positive. In the capturing of Yusuf al-Islam, there's a positive. Because he becomes free in Misr, away from the fitna of his brothers in Madian, because they were living in Madian, and this caravan was coming from Madian, and they're going to Misr. What if the caravan was the other way, coming from Misr, going to Madian, and then they captured him, and then they brought him back to where his brothers left him from? See, Musabbib al-Asbab. This ayah in this surah explains very, very crystal clear what does it mean, Musabbib al-Asbab. And every time I read this ayah and reflect upon it, just tears come out. I can't hold it back. It's so beautiful. When you just dwell on this ayah, go deep and deep, how Allah saved Yusuf al-Islam. If He can save Yusuf al-Islam, a prophet of Allah, like this, at a young age, you think Allah will desert us today in 2006 after 9/11? Like many people have begun to speak negatively about Islam and Muslims, even themselves being Muslim, oh, forget about it. That's it. Allah doesn't love us, like us anymore. Look how much trouble we are. Astaghfirullah. Being a Muslim, I can never say bad about Allah or negative about Allah. Allah always wants good for us. This is exactly what Khadija radiallahu anha, the first Muslim, and the wife of Rasul said, when he was shivering and kapkapi tariqi of sweat, he was sweating when he came from Ghar, he said, you know, dasiruni, dasiruni, zamiluni, and he was so perturbed, he didn't know what happened to me. Something came and grabbed me. I mean, he doesn't know he'd become a prophet, he's just, this is the first thing. That's why we always say a strong wife, strong-minded wife, is the key to success for a man. What did she say? To calm him down and his emotional duress, she said that to his, to her husband, Rasulullah sallam, she said, لَنْ يَدَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ. Allah will never waste you. This experience that you're going through, Ya Rasulullah sallam, yes, it is a very abnormal experience. Yes, it is very absurd. You can't comprehend what's going on. But remember one thing, لَنْ يَدَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ in Arabic, remember we learned? Never ever. لَنْ يَدَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ. And then she went on to complete. Why? She gave the reason, justification. She said, Allah will never waste you. If you're thinking that this experience that is going through to you right now is a negative, no. I, as your wife, I see it otherwise. I don't think this is a negative experience. I think this is a positive experience. Why? Because Allah will never waste you. Why? Because she gave the justification. Because you take care of the poor, you help people's problems, you look after the affairs of people. So someone who is always helping others, why would Allah waste him? Here, in this lies the wisdom of Khadija Ritaran. She's a wife of a prophet, she's a mature lady, and she's getting, you know, she's teaching me and you a lesson also in this. And look, as long as you keep helping others, Allah will never waste you. As soon as you become selfish and not help others, rather exploit others, then maybe Allah will waste you. Or maybe punish you. But remember, the key to success, in other words, she's saying, the key to having the phrase, Allah is on my side, is always help others. Every day when you go to bed at night, think, did I help anyone in my neighborhood? Did I help any Muslim in my community? If not my community, did I help any Muslim, period? In this whole America, did I help any Muslim? Even if it's in Connecticut, or even if it's in California, anywhere. And always go to bed thinking, did I help at least one Muslim today? If not, then tomorrow should be a new day for me and I should have the desire to help. Because as long as I keep helping others, as long as I keep using my resources for others, Allah will never waste me. And that is what Allah is saying. وَأَسَرُّهُ بِدَعَ وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ SubhanAllah, Allah is saying in the ayah, وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. Meaning He's telling me and you, Allah is telling me and you in this ayah. And look, don't you be fooled, don't think that Allah was oblivious, ghafil. Oh, what's happening about the ghafil? I don't know. No. One of the sifat of Allah is Al-Aleem, Al-Khadeer, Al-Hateem. He's Aleem, the most knowing. He's Khadeer, the most aware of the things. And He's Hakeem, the wise, the most wise. Remember, the one who's most knowledgeable, the one who's most aware, has to be also the most wise, right? Because from His wisdom, He's making these things happen, right? We don't have wisdom. Allah has wisdom. So Allah knows that these people are capturing Him, enslaving Him. He's aware of that. He's known of that. Because He's the one who created it in the first place. He's Musabbibul Asbab. And He's telling us, the readers of the Quran, don't take this as a negative event. Don't take that in a negative aspect. Oh look, Yusuf Islam got captured. No. Allah is saying, sometimes in things that we dislike, sometimes in the things that we get discouraged by, depressed by, there lies in it good for us. So we have to take it. Yusuf al-Islam had to be captured. He had to be slaved by these people in order to get the good times. But if he just got off the bucket and jumped back in, that is called suicide. That is called giving up hope on Allah. That is called being despair, as people do today. They just give up hope. They despair from the rahmah of Allah and they commit suicide. If they think that life is coming to an end, this is the darkest hour of my life, let me just kill myself. No. That is the time when you need the most sabr, iman. Sabrun jameel. Raise the jameel sabr. Even if we can't get the jameel sabr, let's just get sabr itself. Will be sufficient for us. Then Allah says, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَغْثٍ بِرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. They captured him, and then they went to Egypt, Misr, and then they sold him. So I laugh at this ayah because It shows you the foolishness of people. Allah is saying, these people who captured him, they did not know how precious and valuable this guy is. If they asked $1 million, people would pay $1 million for it. He's the prophet of Allah. He's shown to be the leader, ruler of Egypt. But Allah is showing, look, when they captured him, they captured for darahina ma'duda. Ma'duda, few dirham. Or just give me $2, $2-$3. I mean, it's like kind of say, one of the Mufassirin said, if I came to you with a diamond ring that is so precious and sparkling, okay, I came to you to sell it. I don't know its value. And I say, oh, can you give me just $2 for the diamond ring? You must be saying in your mind, this brother Jirai is crazy. He's maniac. Majnun. This is worth millions of dollars. $2? Yeah, just give me right away. Don't delay before you change your mind. Right? This is exactly what Allah is saying. Allah is saying, why? Do you know why? Think about it. Reflect. Contemplate. Why did Allah tell us this, that they sold him off for a few dirham? It has something to tie in the previous, when they came to the well and bought him, I mean captured him. Allah is telling us a reason. There's a reason hidden behind this. There's a silver lining. Something is being implied to us. Anybody?
Selfishness.
Huh? No, not niyyah.
Selfishness.
Selfish. If they were selfish, they would not sell for a few dirham. They would not sell him for cheaply. Huh? It ties into what I've been telling you all day today. Musabbibul Asbab, Musabbibul Asbab. Meaning when Allah creates means, there is a saying that the Mufassirin say, when Allah creates a mean, He creates a mean within a mean. But the second mean is hidden. It will only come apparent when the time is right. If it's apparent before time, it will fall apart. So Allah is saying, if I created the means for Yusuf Islam to be saved by these bandits, let's say, bad people who captured him. Capturing is a bad thing, kidnapping is a bad thing, we all agree. So, we will classify these people as bandits. Daku, they captured him. So Allah is saying, Allah created the mean for Yusuf to be captured by bad people, but we, Allah, also put in their heart the devaluation of Yusuf Islam so that they don't capture him for a long time. You see? If he was precious and if he was valuable to them, what would they do? They'll keep him for a long time. They'll slave him. They'll put shackles, cuffs in him, make him use him to earn money, right? You see the beauty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's karama? This is Allah Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Malik, Al-Quddus, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. This is the beauty of Allah's names. And look, when you break apart every single word of this ayah, that's why I'm taking extensive time to explain, because this relates to us a lot today. How many times you've seen something, a means comes to you, you just reject it outright. And then a few days later, a few weeks later, you say, oh, shucks, I should have taken that out. You realize the importance of that mean later on in retrospective. At that moment, you devalued it. You say, oh, this is not valuable for me. But then later you say, why was I fooled? Why did I? That means Allah is saying, never shun anything. Never reject anything. Whatever means comes your way, always say, Bismillah, Bismillah. Like one of the Mufti in Pakistan, he said, a very beautiful thing. He said, whenever you're giving money, or you're buying something, because it relates to buying and selling. Over here, they sold him off. You know, they sold Yusuf Islam for a few dirham. They went happily ever after thinking, oh, we got our money's worth. But they didn't know how much worth Yusuf Islam was. The person who bought it, he thought, I got a very good thing. So he went off. Each party went off on their own track, but the money, what about the money? The Muslims are, he said in Pakistan, whenever you're giving money, when you're buying something, you always have to give money somewhere, right? He said, whenever you're giving money in your heart or lightly on your tongue, just say, Inna lillahi inna ilayhi rajiun. When do we say that? When we lose something. So basically, when you're giving money, you're losing it. Are you gaining it? No. You're paying rent, you're paying car bill, you're buying a suit, you're buying food, grocery, even milk, $2, say, Inna lillahi inna raju. And the other thing Mufti Sahib said in Pakistan, very beautiful thing. See, these little gems we need to learn and practice in our life. He said, suppose you buy something and you give it, saying lightly, Inna lillahi inna raju. You say that. The cashier takes it and has to give you change now. So you give a $20 bill, $10 bill. Now when the cashier is counting the change and now is about to give you, when you receive it, he said, give with right hand, receive with right hand. He said, when you're receiving the change, say lightly in your heart or on your tongue, Bismillah, Bismillah, Bismillah. Because when do we say Bismillah? For barakah, for rahmah. So when money is coming, come money, come back to me. You went from me, inna lillahi wa rajiun, come back to me. Like they say in Hindu, Lakshmi, Lakshmi Jari, Lakshmi Hari. So here, the Mufti is saying that in our daily transactions, practice this. My wife told me she practiced it, it worked for her. I said, you don't work, how do you get the money? She said, I don't know, my purse is full. I said, I didn't give you any money. Last time I gave you the monthly money was last month. How come it's still full? This is barakah. Because if Allah doesn't give you back money, He will put strength in it. Or maybe it'll just grow in the purse. Who knows? You put a $20 bill in your wallet. Next time you open, you see two $20 bills. Where did it come from? Allah, He can do anything also. Don't think that, oh, someone has to come and put another $20 bill in your wallet. It can grow on its own. This is where we say, ke paise darak pe ukte hain. Darak pe nahi. Allah ke darak pe ukte hain paise. This is where we say that money is found on the tree. Not on a regular tree, the tree of Allah. So remember, next time, whenever you're giving money, gas station, you're putting gas, inna lillahi, don't say too loud, the guy will freak out, say, whoa, Muslim day is about to blow up. He's saying some word, I don't know. No, just say it lightly, inna lillahi inna rajiun. And then when he's giving change, bismillah, bismillah, bismillah. And then tell me by next Thursday how much gross you got. We're going to few minutes, Zahideen, we finish up with this ayah. Allah mother says that when they sold him, the person who bought it, he got something that was Zahideen, very pure esteem. Meaning he, why Allah said that? To tell us that the person who bought Yusuf al-Islam, even he does not know the true worth of Yusuf al-Islam. So we finish with this today to culminate how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is now about to change. The days, the winds of change are about to blow. The days, are about to turn. The turn of the tide. This, until this era was 20, it was the darkest hour of Yusuf al-Islam. It's not to say that he is free from trouble now. There's some more trouble to come, as we will see. The jail and the prince and all that. But at least, the darkest hour was in the world. How Allah created Musabbib al-Asbab, and such an Asbab that He even changed and controlled the hearts and minds of these people. Because if they really knew His true worth, they would have captured and kidnapped Him for a long time. But they quickly got rid of Him. In fact, one of the Mufassirin said that the riwayat come from a Sahabi, I think Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said that these people, when they came to Egypt with the caravan, and they knew that they had this, they kept hiding and they took him straight to bazaar. You know, when you come back from a journey, you want to go to the house, sit back, relax. No, they were in such a hurry, hastening, they went straight to the bazaar, started announcing, we have a ghulam, we have a ghulam. Ghulam never means a slave, you know. We have a ghulam, a servant, slave. Anybody want to buy? The first buyer that came, here, take. They're in a big rush to go. This is also a hint from Allah that when He wants to save you, He will get you away from the bad thing quickly. Because the bad thing there was what? Capturing, kidnapping. But Allah did not want Yusuf al-Islam to be in captivity, enslaved for a long time. Because Allah is on his side. So Allah is proving to me and you that when you say Allah is on my side, Allah is truly on your side. Because the bad thing that will come in your life will quickly go away. Because the good is about to come. So Yusuf al-Islam was not captured for a long, long time because it was never meant to be. It was meant to be just a transitory moment that just get out of here, get out of the world, get out of Madian, get out from your brother's, you know, captivity and all that.